Reading to you from the 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians, and with the 7th verse. Bear all things, believe all things, hope all things, endure all things. Love never fails. But if there are gifts of prophecy, they will be done away. If there are tongues, they will cease. If there is knowledge, it will be done away. Good evening, my dear listening friends. Again, this is Evangelist Cecil Moe. And as you know, I'm a converted alcoholic. And I gave my heart to Christ over 55 years ago in a pastor's home in Seattle, Washington. 1 year later, God called me to preach. And I've been sharing Christ ever since. I had such a wonderful phone call the other night from a dear friend of mine. He's a pastor. He's an author. He writes books. And I think he writes for, 50 or 60 newspapers in the country. But he's a soul winner. My stars. Him and I got talking about winning souls. And I thought we would talk for over an hour. It's a joy to be around people who love the souls of men. And I really do that. I'm not the smartest boy, I'll tell you. But I do know the King, and I know God called me to win souls. And that's what I do in prison and everywhere I go. That's why I put these books out and these films. It's a joy to serve the Lord. Well, listen, I'm going to be with you for a half an hour tonight. I wish you'd just kick off your slippers, sit back and relax, and don't worry about the things that you were thinking about today. Let's see what the Lord has for us, okay? Well, friends, if you have your Bibles with you, turn with me to the Psalms, 103rd Psalm, and let's read with the second verse. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of his benefits. And we've labeled this tonight, thankful for what? Well, listen, David's great song of thanksgiving, he encouraged himself to give thanks for daily blessings. Do you do that? When you get up in the morning, do you bow your head and do you thank him for the good night's rest? You know what God really loves to hear from his children? Tell him you love him and thank him for answered prayer and for supplying your needs. Listen, friends, if you have a roof over your head tonight and you have food on your table and something in the refrigerator, you ought to be the most thankful person in the world. You don't realize, well, maybe you do, I don't know, but there are so many very wealthy people who have lost everything that they have through this depression or recession or whatever you want to call it. And many of these people are actually living in tents. Yes, sir, they had all the luxuries of life, and all of a sudden they have nothing. You see, we as Christians, we not only do we have eternal life, but we have the joy of serving the Lord. Oh, listen, I'm telling you, it's one of the greatest things that we can do is serve the Lord. The pilgrims remembered God's benefits. You know, they arrived November 11th, 1620, on the rocky coast of Cape Cod. They came to the New World to seek a place to worship in freedom. Friends, did you know right now our freedom is being taken away from us every day in this administration? This man wants to rule the world, it appears. He's a narcissist, and he doesn't really care about you. He talks about Christianity, but he don't like it. In fact, the matter is lately he's been reading out of the book of Quran. Now, what does that tell you, my friends? And he didn't even have the prayers. When we have prayer day in America like we've been doing for years and years, he did away with that. Now, listen, Russia tried to stomp out the Lord, and China has tried it, Cuba's tried it. And they're never going to do it. America will not stomp out the Lord. God is a gracious, holy God, and he's standing by, watching the foolishness of man. As man goes about his life, doing what he wants to do, hurting people, greed, hate. Do you know right now we're having all kinds of trouble here on our highways? Excuse me, between here and Colorado Springs, there's about 15 state cops that are along that road because of the road rage. My daughter the other day was going out to my other daughter's place. They work for my son, and they have the office out there. And this guy cut my daughter off and then kept slamming his brakes on. And she couldn't do anything about it. And you know, when you're driving down the road, you can't possibly take their license. There's a number you call here in our state patrol, and boy, they'll nail them, and they won't drive much longer. Well, that's what we're facing today. But these people suffered many hardships that first winter, including the deaths of half of them died. And I saw that Mayflower. I'm telling you, friends, it's tied up down there in Virginia. And I'm telling you, that's the smallest ship I ever saw in my life. I don't know how they went through those heavy seas with that little bitty old boat. Well, I call it a boat. It was a ship. Well, can you imagine? They didn't have any milk. They didn't have any fresh vegetables. And they all got, many of them got scurvy. Well, anyway, in spite of it all, they established the first Thanksgiving in spite of their many problems. For what should we be thankful? Well, let me tell you what. We should be thankful for the essentials of life, like a pair of shoes. Yeah. It says in 1 Timothy 6:8, and if we have food and covering with these, we shall be content. But we're not content. Having food should make us all thankful. A good harvest made the pilgrims thankful. They had little else. Millions of people, believe it or not, go to bed hungry, and not enough to eat is cause for thanksgiving. Just think, just having enough to eat, we should be thankful. Having adequate clothing should make us thankful. I remember, my friends, during the Great Depression, I was in the first grade in school, and, you know, little boys always wore the seat of their overalls out. Well, so Mom went and got she had to cut my overalls off because I was short, and she used that to patch two little holes in the seat of my pants. And I said, Mom, I said, they don't match. They're different colors. The kids will make fun of me. She said, honey, those were put on with tender love and care. I never forgot that. And then I was kind of glad to have a good patch on the seat of my pants. Winter finds many people cold and insufficiently protected. Those who are comfortably clothed are a privileged few. What other essentials do we take for granted? Well, let's focus on what we have instead of what we want and be thankful for it. We should be thankful for everything in life. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Everything. Oh, friends, let me tell you what I'm thankful for. As you know, about 3 months ago, I went to the hospital 4 times in 1 month. Did you know, friends? I know you won't believe it, but it's a true story. They put me in emergency, and they gave me these steroids so I could breathe. I couldn't breathe at all. I mean, I was gasping for air, begging God to give me enough so I could live. And did you know what that bill was that for that one night and those tests they took? $20,000. Thank God I had some insurance. Ooh, am I thankful for that insurance. Well, the Bible tells us that all things work together for the good of those who love God according to his purpose. That's Romans 8:28. Well, listen, excuse me, I'm having my throat little trouble tonight. Our loving Father has the whole world in His hand. I love that song. He's got the whole world in His hands. He's got the little bitty babies in His hand. Be thankful for His weather, whatever it may be. And folks, you have probably been reading about the weather that we've had here in Colorado. I don't know how many, tornadoes we have. And every night we've been having hailstorms and lightning and thunder. And it rains. It's been raining every day. Every day for the last 2 weeks. It's unreal. We've never had weather like this before. But we have it. Now, out in Arvada, see, my son owns a insurance adjusting company. And, of course, he has to be thankful for that storm because it gave him tons of work. Well, it's helped our economy. I mean, put the carpenters to work, put the roofers to work, put the glaziers to work. So we got to be even thankful for that. We got to be thankful for His promises that meet us in life storms. Let me ask you, if you've been going through a storm of life, you say, oh, Cecil, you just don't know. Well, listen, dear one, take hope. Look to Jesus. He careth for you. The Bible said, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you, and He does you tonight. You say, Cecil, I'm a nobody. Well, so am I. I'm a nobody, but I know the King. I know He reached down in this gutter and saved this old drunk. Friends, I'm so glad. I can't imagine why would God do that for me. I just can't. I couldn't imagine. Well, I do know why. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on Him should not perish but have everlasting life. That's a proof that God careth for you. Well, be thankful that we know the one who holds the future can rest. We can rest in His care. If you're all alone by yourself, He still careth for you. You know, I told you this story a long time ago about this medical doctor was an alcoholic. God saved him. And this young man came in for a health examination. He was getting some life insurance. And the doctor, he said, well, Doc, how am I doing? He said, oh, you're doing fine. You're all right. And then the doctor said, well, what if I told you that that you were to die? He said, well, I'm okay because I found the Lord. Well, then this other doctor was told, he said, I'll tell you right now, he was an alcoholic too, and he was saved. And this guy said, don't you ever want to drink when you're alone, to this doctor? And this doctor said, no, because I'm never alone. Jesus lives in my heart. And those of us who know Him can say that. He lives in our heart. Thankful that there is a design in our difficulties. Trouble teaches us patience, trust in the Lord. And I read excuse me, in Romans 5:3. And not only this, but we also exult in our tribulation, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance. Now, problems large and small are intended to make us more like Jesus. And I read in Romans 8:29, for whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Listen, friends. He foreknew us. He predestined us. Now, don't get all tied up on that. Get your tongue tied. He's known us from our mother's womb. But you still have to be born again in order to get into the kingdom of heaven. Well, be thankful for troubles that has come our way. Listen. God spares us many heartaches of which we are unaware. We don't even know about it. He delivers us from destruction. Whom redeemed, this is verse 4, who redeemed your life from the pit, who crowned you with loving kindness and compassion. Oh, friends, listen. I don't know whether you know how much He loves you tonight, but He certainly does. Have you been reading or hearing these TV evangelists who say, you send us a $1,000 seed offering and and your children will all be saved, and you'll never have another problem. You'll never have financial problems. You'll never have physical problems as long as you live. They're liars out of hell. The Bible said we will have trials and we will have tribulations. You say, well, if that's the case, why would I have to give my heart to Christ? Well, the difference is, he said he'd go with you through it. Don't you remember when the disciples and Jesus was in this boat and a big storm came up? And now these guys are professional seamen. They know how to run a ship in a storm. And they hollered at Jesus, wake up, Lord, don't you know we're going to perish? And Jesus, he was with them right in that storm. And he just said, peace, be still. Did you know what happened? Those big old waves stopped. And it was just as calm as can be. See, he'll calm our spirit during these trying times. Now listen, I've told you many times I've had so many health problems. I've got COPD, I've got sugar diabetes, I've had 2 heart attacks, cancer operations. And those are tough times. So you see, you do have problems. But I remember, and I've told you this before, I remember the morning I went in for my cancer operation. I was scared to death. What? Yes, old Cecil was scared to death. And I got over to the hospital about 5 o'clock in the morning. And they took me in to prep me for the operation. And I prayed that night before. I said, Lord, when I get there at the hospital, let me be at peace. Let me be at just like you're there, right there with your arm around me as I go into that operation. Make it be like a walk through the park. And friends, when they got me prepped and I went into surgery, I was as calm as a clam. I was happy as a dead pig in the sunshine. I knew everything was going to be all right. The next thing I know, I wake up, and she's a granddaughter, she's a RN nurse, and she was feeding me so Jell-O. Oh, what a joy, what a joy. Listen, we should be thankful for eternal life, and I read in 2 Corinthians 9, thankful to God for his indescribable gift. You can't describe salvation. I sure can't. No, I can't. And I want you to know God's grace shall make us thankful. Oh, I don't understand the grace of God. That means unmerited love, and I can't understand that. And you think, well, you're a preacher, you should. Well, I don't. We are all sinners, undeserving of salvation. And I read in Romans 3:10, as it is written, there is none righteous, not even one. There is no one who understands. There is none who seeks for God. Can you believe that? We don't deserve salvation. We don't, you know, there's none righteous, no one seeking after God. The gift of his grace is eternal life. And I read in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Did you hear that? The gift of God is free. You don't pay a dime for it. But it was an awful, expensive price paid. It was the price of Jesus Christ, our Lord, the sinless Son of God, who never sinned a day in his life. In fact, the matter is, he took sin upon our sins upon him to pay for it, so that we could go to heaven. Sin has to be paid for. Now, it says the wages of sin. You get paid for sin. Oh, you sure do. Yeah, we did. We deserve only death in hell. The wages of sin is death. But the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. It tells us in Ephesians 2:8-9, I've heard people say, well, Cecil, I've lived a good life, and why shouldn't I go to heaven? Well, have you accepted Jesus? Have you repented of your sins? If you have, you don't deserve heaven. Now, God does not send anybody to hell. You yourself makes a decision where you want to spend eternity. You're the one that says it with your own mouth. Yes, sirree. And it says, for by grace are you saved through faith. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Now, can you imagine? It's a gift of God. We who were without hope have been assured that we will never perish. Let me quote John 3:16 again. For God so loved you and me that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Assurance of eternal life should make us thankful every day. 1 John 5, he who has a son has life. He who does not have a son does not have life. These things have I written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you, in order that you may know that you have eternal life. That's our assurance. Now, when I ask people, do you know you're going to heaven when you die? Well, you know, Cecil, I sure hope so. Well, I'm planning on going to heaven. Listen, you don't plan, you don't hope, you know. Oh, there's a difference in hoping and knowing. He said, and you may know that you have eternal life. And then he gives you the assurance that you have passed in death and life. The Bible said that Christians will be thankful for heaven. And I read in Revelation 7:11, and the name of the star is called Woodworm, and a third of the water become Woodworm. And many men died from the waters because they were made bitter. Start rehearsing heaven's song of thanksgiving. A thankful heart will make earth more heavenly. I'm going to ask you, friend, if you were to die tonight, where would you spend eternity? Only you can tell me that. Only you, not your mama, not your daddy, but you can tell me. Are you going to heaven? Do you know it? If you do not know it, I want you to listen. I want to extend to you an invitation from God. I sure do. Come unto me, all ye labor and heavy laden, I'll give you peace, I'll give you rest. And if you're ready to turn your back on the old way of life and cry out to God, be merciful to me, a sinner, then bow your head to me right now. And do not, please do not pray this prayer unless you really mean it. And here's how the prayer goes. Kind Heavenly Father, in the precious name of Jesus, I confess that I am a hell-bound, hell-deserving sinner. And Lord, I want to give you my heart tonight. Invite you to come and dwell with me and be with me forever. Oh God, thank you for hearing my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Beloved, if you prayed that prayer, won't you get on the phone and call 303-471-8534. I won't use your name on the air. I won't embarrass you. I won't sit down and write and ask you for any money. I don't care where you go to church. Oh, beloved, I'm only concerned where you spend eternity. 303-471-8534. For 37 years, I've been on radio and television begging and pleading people to come to Christ. And the reason I do that, because the morning I accepted Christ, I found what I've been looking for and didn't even know it. Now you get on the phone, call me right now, 303-471-8534.
Say.
For the past half an hour, your host has been Evangelist Cecil Moe. Thank you so much for listening tonight, and I pray that something was said that would encourage your heart. Oh, listen, friends, I know it's a tough world we're living in, but this is not our home. We're just passing through. Then we got a mansion for those who trust Jesus. Oh, I don't understand that either, but I'll bet you one thing, it's something I've never had in my lifetime on this earth. Anyway, continue to pray for me and my wife as next week we go to prison again, and pray that we'll be a blessing, that many people will be saved. It's such a joy to go to prison, and pray for our health. Our health is kind of, you know, up and down, but I know this, serving the Lord is the greatest joy that ever happened in my life. Well, until this time next Sunday night, I want you to be good to your neighbors, stay sweet. Keep looking up, for this wonderful, wonderful Jesus is coming soon. Good night, and may God bless you real, real good.